Here we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Friday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. So I love leading off these shows, coming on, saying we are once again coming off of another winning show. That is not the case today because we are coming off of, I think, what was the worst show betting-wise in the history of Before You Bet. I got absolutely eviscerated last night. I went 1-5, including 0-3 with my NBA picks. One of those nights, I guess, some of the reads a little off. You know, that one on the Clippers, I had them +5. They ended up losing by 6, so I won't kill myself too much for that one. But we will live to bet another day here, and that day is today. We got a ton of bets for the NFL on Sunday, a handful of bets for the NBA here tonight. A lot of questionable tags in the NBA tonight, so a little tricky to handicap, but some good-looking spots there. So no Ro with me today. He's enjoying life in sunny Las Vegas, vacationing at the moment. So I'm going to hit you with my favorite 6 picks for Sunday. Then Hitman's going to be with us. Then John Mettler will be with us in the back end of the show. So before I get into those picks, guys, you know what I'm going to ask? If you like the show, it's very easy to let us know. Just hit that like button right down there. And make sure you subscribe to the Covers YouTube channel as well. Lots of great content here. If you're in the live chat, drop your best bets of the weekend in there, whether it be for the NBA, college football, NFL, hockey, UFC, college basketball. I really don't give a shit. Just let us know what you like. If you're watching the replay, hit the comments section up and let us know what you're on this weekend. Okay, let's get into what you guys are here for. My best bets for Sunday. And we're going to start things off with my Miami Dolphins. I think they're the biggest favorite of the week here at -9.5. I love them to cover that number in Washington versus the dinky Commanders. So the Dolphins offense versus Commanders defense. This is one of the biggest mismatches in the NFL. This is a matchup between teams ranked 2nd in scoring and dead last in points allowed. Commanders defense coming off 3 straight games where they've allowed 29 or more points, including allowing 31 at home to Tommy DeVito and the Giants. No offense to Tommy DeVito. Commanders offensive line, they're going to struggle against this Miami pass rush. Commanders 2nd in sacks allowed. Miami is 5th in pressure percentage with the 3rd most sacks. Dolphins defense, by the way, looking like one of the top defenses here in the NFL lately. Jalen Ramsey making a big difference back there. And if you're scared of the big number, you probably shouldn't be. The Dolphins have been beating the shit out of bad teams all season. They do not play down to the competition here. They've been a good bet as a big favorite. Beat the Giants by 15. They beat the Panthers by 21. Beat the Patriots by 14. They beat the Jets by 21. Just last week, the Commanders already have 3 double-digit losses on their home field this season. So, for all those reasons, I like the Miami Dolphins to take care of business. Next up, let's go down to New Orleans, where I will be taking the Detroit Lions -4. Love them to cover this number. They desperately need to bounce back, and they've been great at bouncing back here since the middle of last season. 5-0 against the spread after a loss, after their last 5 losses. Some monster wins in there, too. One in Detroit, outright as an underdog. They won 40-14 versus the Jaguars. They beat the Bears by 31. They beat the Falcons by 14. They beat the Raiders 26-14 in a game where they outgained them by 329 yards. And check out New Orleans. They're really starting to fall apart. Injuries are really piling up. Last 3 games defensively, 25th in yards allowed per play, 28th on third down. And they weren't playing the Dolphins, Cowboys, and 49ers in those games. It was against the Falcons, Vikings, and Bears. So not exactly the class of the league in terms of offenses there. And I do think this is a good get-right spot for Jared Goff. He's looked very spotty the past couple of weeks. A lot of ugly turnovers. But going up against a Saints team that's 28th in pressure percentage, the 2nd fewest sacks, really struggling against the pass lately as well. So for those reasons, I like the Lions to cover the number. Next up, let's go to Pittsburgh. Cardinals are in 10. I'm going to take under 41.5 for this one. So potential for rock bottom scoring in Steelers games. 30 combined points or less in 4 of their last 7 games. They've gone under in 8 of their last 9. Average combined score just 35.1 in their games this season. This one's 41.5. So Cardinals, they're leaving their offense in Arizona. Not very good offensively to begin with, but they're really bad on the road, averaging just 11.2 points, dead last in yards per play. They are 5-1 to the under on the road. That Kyler Murray debut, he looked absolutely electric, but that's starting to look like a little bit of a mirage since then. They scored 16 and 14. And they're really struggling on third down. Both games came indoors versus average at best defenses. And here's one of the reasons why the Steelers are such a good under team this season. They stink in the red zone offensively, but they're good in the red zone defensively. 28th on offense, 5th on defense. Yeah, they did look better versus the Bengals last week. I know they fired their offensive coordinator, Matt Canada. They should have done that long ago, but they still stunk in the red zone in that game. So let's see if they can do it again. I think we're going to have a low scoring one in Pittsburgh. Let us keep rolling here. Speaking of low scoring, that brings us to the New York Jets and their team total. I'm going to take the under 16 and a half. Things are getting worse somehow for this Jets offense. They're averaging 10 points per game over their last five games. Their offense has scored 3 touchdowns in these games. Jets are dead last by a wide margin on both third down and in the red zone. These are strengths of Atlanta's defense. They rank in the top 6 in each category. Also decent against the run. Falcons are pretty good at creating pressure too. 10th highest pressure percentage. The Jets are awful at stopping it. Allowing the second most pressure. They have allowed the third most sacks. Tim Boyle, I don't think he's going to be the answer here for the Jets. What a pairing, him and Nathaniel Hackett. So Jets under on their team total. Let us keep going with the trend that keeps on giving. It is the second half under in the Kansas City Chiefs, Green Bay Packers game. It's at 20 and a half. It was at 21 and a half for a lot of the week, but it dipped down to 20 and a half here today. I will still play it because the Kansas City Chiefs have gone under the second half total in all 11 of their games this season. An average of just 14.7 second half points in Chiefs games this season. Shockingly, they rank 31st in second half scoring. The Jets are scoring more points in the second half than the Kansas City Chiefs. And Green Bay's defense, they tighten up in the second half as well. Each team ranks in the top 10 in second half points allowed. Just 6.2 points allowed in Green Bay in the second half for the Packers there. So I'll take the second half under there. And let's bring it home. Before I'm getting a little dry here. I'm not used to talking this long just by myself on the show, but let's bring it home here. Try to do it all without taking a sip of water. Favorite prop of the weekend. Give me Samaje Perine over 16 and a half receiving yards. He's been chronically undervalued in this market all season. Might surprise you to hear Perine is 4th in receiving yards for running backs. Texans have struggled to defend running backs in the past game. They're allowing 38.6 receiving yards per game receiving to running backs. And he's topped this number in 7 of 11 games this season, an average of 30.6 receiving yards per game for Perine. So that is my favorite prop of the weekend. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll have a sip of water and we'll get ready to bring my next guest in. Great live viewing, watching a man drink water. Okay, let's go right into it. Those are my 6 favorite bets. Let us know what your best bets are. Anthony Cintron in the live chat weighing in. He loves the 49ers this weekend against the Eagles. I lean Eagles in that one personally, but I'm interested to see what my next guest thinks about this game. So let's ask him about it once again. Another edition of Dude, Where's My Car? Hitman running the roads of New Jersey there. How are we making out on this lovely Friday afternoon?
I mean, it's like, what, 40 degrees right now? Nowhere else in the world I'd rather be, Joe, than be right here.
Yeah, December 1st. What is going on? So let's discuss a couple things here first before we get into your 3 picks. Game of the weekend, one of the games of the year. We have the 49ers as a favorite in Philadelphia taking on the Eagles. Do you have a lean, at least, on this game?
It's funny. My pure numbers would never have San Francisco as a 3-point road favorite in this game. I'd probably be closer to like San Francisco -1. So then you say to me, like, well, why aren't you betting Philadelphia if that's what your numbers say? Well, the numbers, just from a pure power rating perspective, they don't fully account for the fact that the Eagles are coming off a game where they played 92 plays on defense. The week before, they had a short week. against Kansas City. They have all these high leverage games. You play KC, you play Buffalo. Now you get San Fran, you get Dallas next week. This is a fatiguing spot for the Eagles. And San Francisco, what are they doing? They're coming off this game off of 10 days rest, as they played last Thursday against Seattle. So the spot is very pro San Fran. And I'll say the matchup, something that people aren't talking about a lot is that the Eagles, the defensive tackle position is injured right now. Jordan Davis a little banged up. Fletcher Cox probably going to miss this game. Their linebackers are really banged up in this game. And what do we know like the 49ers do? They attack the middle of the field. They put a lot of stress on your linebackers. So with the injuries to Philadelphia and the spot being bad, I could see why the line is what it is. So I probably end up passing the game. Despite from a pure numbers standpoint, I think that Philadelphia has a little bit of value.
How do you feel about the Eagles on a 6-point teaser?
You know, this is going to sound stupid, but like if it was 2.5 and I'm teasing up to 8.5, I don't hate it. But at 3, I just don't tease a lot of 3-point favorites up to 9. And just the reason is, you might say like, well, why wouldn't you just want that extra half point? It sounds stupid. Well, no, the reason is because just mathematically, you're better off just taking the +3 than you are teasing up to 9. Whereas when you're doing 2.5 to 8.5, you're now getting extra value on that teaser because you're getting to 3 to 3.5 and then the 7, 7.5. So you know me, Joe. I'm like a teaser. With teasers, I always say, you know, I got to take it where it's 2.5 to 8.5, 1.5 to 7.5.
Yeah.
It's what the math says I'm supposed to do. So if I was going to be interested in Philly, I'd probably just take him at +3. But I'm not that interested in Philly because of the spot and the matchup.
I do like them paired with the Jaguars on Monday Night Football, by the
way. I love the Jaguars leg. I love the Jags leg. Yep.
If you can get them inside of that 3. So let's talk MVP here. The MVP race really heating up. Dak Prescott getting a lot of buzz here. Another great game. He's filling that stat sheet up pretty good. Jalen Hurts, this is DraftKings, by the way. They have Jalen Hurts as a favorite, +150. Patrick Mahomes, +380. Lamar, +450. Dak catching up here, +475. Tua, yeah, he's going to have to be incredible down the stretch here, I think, if he wants to get back into this thing. He's +950. Brock Purdy, maybe you can make a case in value there, 13-1. McCaffrey, their first non-quarterback on the list, 16-1. C.J. Stroud, who was getting a lot of the buzz a couple of weeks ago, he's falling back. Anything stand out to you in terms of MVP betting with a handful of games left in the season here?
Yeah, you mentioned it, Brock Purdy. And this is where, you know, if you're doing a lot of line shopping, you could just see like some of the sharper books are dealing Brock Purdy as low as +550 now. And if you go to some other books, DraftKings is a book to look at. I believe, like you said, it's 13-1 right now on Brock Purdy. And I did bet Brock Purdy at 14-1 just a few days ago. You know, that number is going to fly down if he has a big game against the Eagles and wins. Now, obviously, if they lose this game against Jalen Hurts, Purdy's not going to win MVP, but they are 3-point favorites in this game. Brock Purdy, a ton of advanced stats. Like, he's number one in. He's number one in, like, EPA per play. He's number one in yards per attempt. He's number one in a lot of advanced metrics this year. And if San Francisco does beat Philly and that gives them the path to having the number one seed, as they would have the tiebreaker over the Dallas Cowboys and over the Eagles, and he would have head-to-head wins where he dominated the Cowboys defense, and he would theoretically play a really good game against his Eagles banged up defense. I think that Purdy's number is just too high at 13-1. So I think that the books that have Purdy around that 5-6-1 range, I think that that's the correct number. So yeah, I like Brock Purdy. I think he has value. And then I'd say that I think that the worst bet on the board is Jalen Hurts right now, because Jalen Hurts is probably going to need that 2-0 sweep to beat Dallas and to beat San Francisco this week to be remain the favorite, because his numbers just aren't as good as some of these other quarterbacks. So, yeah, I like Brock Purdy.
Yeah, these numbers are going to move big time depending on the result of this game, too. Purdy probably gets inside a 10-1, I would say, if the 49ers end up winning and he has a good game in Philadelphia. So we'll see how that works out. But is there anything else right now in the futures market that stands out to you? I know you had your eye on an updated over-under win total.
Yes, I love to play the regular season win totals during the season. So after every single week, a lot of books are putting up a new regular season win total for all these for all 32 teams. I found a lot of value in the Cincinnati Bengals to go under 7.5 wins. I made the number 7. And like, if it was before the year and I made a season win total that's 7.5 and I made it 7, I might be like, yeah, I'll bet it. Like it's a decent play. It's worth a bet. But that's during a 17-game schedule. Now that we're at the fact that it's a 6-game schedule and I'm getting a half win of value, the difference is huge. It's a ton of value. So, like I said, I made the Bengals number 7, and I just don't think that the market is fully accounting for the fact that this Bengals team deserves to be like one of the bottom 5 teams in the league without Joe Burrow right now. Their defense is one of the worst defenses in the league. Their offensive line's not good. They can't run the ball. Jake Browning's one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the league. I'm hard pressed to see the Bengals win to get to that number.
Yeah, a complete and total write-off this season for the Bengals with Joe Burrow going down. Okay, so let's get into some of these best bets here. We are in agreement. You like the Lions -4 in New Orleans as well. Why do you like them to cover the spread?
All about the Saints injury report. Marcus May and Cam Jordan banged up on defense for the Saints. We know that Marshawn Lattimore, one of the best corners in the league, will not be playing in this game. Then you look at the offense. The cluster injuries that they have at wide receiver. Rashid Shaheed's going to miss this game. Michael Thomas is going to miss this game. Chris Olave, I know he's had limited practices, but I think one skill position player all year has come back from concussion protocol to play the next week. So I'd still have to say that he's more likely to miss this game than not. So it's kind of setting up for like a script where there's not going to be many explosive plays in the passing game for the Saints. It's going to be a lot of long, sustained drives. Are they going to be able to sustain these drives considering that their run game is going against a Lions run defense that's top 5 in most metrics? And let's say they do have these long, sustained drives. They get into the red zone. Derek Carr, like not just this year, but throughout his career, has been one of the worst red zone quarterbacks in the entire league. So do they score touchdowns on these long, sustained drives? I don't think they do. And then you look at the Saints defense. We spoke about the injuries in their secondary. Even their run defense has been struggling. 34 carries for 198 yards they allowed last week to the Atlanta Falcons. We know that the Lions can run the ball. They're in a great rest spot off of 10 days of rest after playing on Thursday. I think that the Lions, it's a good bounce back spot for them.
Okay, let's stay in this game. Your favorite prop of the weekend. You spoke about how bad that Saints rush defense is. You like Gibbs. Go over his rushing yard total?
Yeah, so Gibbs versus Montgomery the last 3 weeks, the snap difference is 125-70. Now, a lot of that is because Gibbs is the guy that's playing in negative game script, and they got into negative game script in 2 of those games. But even in the one game where against the Chargers, where it was a neutral game script, Gibbs still got 14 carries. So he's been getting a lot more work for the Lions. It's been, as we said, it's been a Saints run defense that's been showing a little bit of vulnerability. With David Montgomery in the 60s, I just can't see why there's a 20-yard difference between these players. I know that Montgomery is going to get more carries, but the efficiency has been so much better for Gibbs, and he's been getting there in bad game scripts. Like the Green Bay game was a terrible game script, and Gibbs still cleared this number pretty easily. So I think that Jahmyr Gibbs rushing yards, he's just a little bit undervalued. He shouldn't be higher than Montgomery, but it should be a lot closer than what the market is saying.
Okay, might have to add that one to the list of bets here for the weekend. Okay, let's bring it home. Kind of a funny-looking game here. We got the Cleveland Browns, revolving door at the quarterback position for them this season. They are in L.A. taking on a Rams team that's up and down. They were up last week against the Cardinals, but then again, a lot of teams are up against the Cardinals. How do you see this one going?
I like the Browns +3.5 in this one. So listen, I'm not going to be able to give you a ton of arguments about Joe Flacco led offense with the Browns. it's a bad offense and they're facing a bad defense. So it just happens. But I think that the matchup with this Browns defense against the Rams offense, it's enough of a good enough matchup for this Browns defense that we're probably going to get a low scoring game where if the Rams win, they probably end up winning the game by 3. Matthew Stafford's year-to-date splits against man coverage have been really bad. The Browns are one of the most man-heavy defenses in the entire league. And the thing that really stands out to me is that this Rams offense, every time that they've stepped up and faced a top-tier pass rush, and this Browns pass rush is arguably the best in the league, the Rams have struggled offensively. They struggled a lot against the 49ers. They struggled a ton against the Eagles. They struggled against Dallas's pass rush. They faced Green Bay. I know there was no Matthew Stafford in that game, but that's still a game against a good pass rush where even when you have your backup quarterback, there's no excuse to score 3 points in that game. They scored 16 points at Cincinnati, which I know we don't think of them as a good defense, but it was a game their offensive line was banged up and the Bengals were able to get a lot of pressure. Basically, the common denominator is when the Rams defense is facing, or excuse me, the Rams offense is facing defenses that can put pressure on them, they're struggling. So I think that's going to be a tough matchup for this Rams offense. And I think that Myles Garrett, listen, it's a pain tolerance issue. We're hearing Amari Cooper, it's a pain tolerance issue. Cleveland closed 1.5 at Denver last week. I just don't see a big enough difference that we're going to say that they should be +3.5, +4.
Okay, there we go. So the Browns to give the Rams a game in Los Angeles. Okay, Hitman, we'll leave it at that. We thank you very much for joining us. We'll let you get back on the road there to get your bets in, and we'll catch you again next week for another edition of Dude, Where's My Car? Here on Before You Bet. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Okay, let's move on to another man. Getting pretty popular around here. He's hitting a lot of bets for us. I didn't hit any in the NBA last night, but John Mettler did. So hopefully he'll hit a few for us here today. John, before we get into our bets, you have 2. I have 1 for tonight. I got to ask you about the Milwaukee Bucks. They're not off to a horrible start to the season by any means, but I thought last night they were just completely embarrassed. They're in Chicago against a Bulls team that is falling apart at the seams. Seemingly, they're just going to trade away all their best players. Those best players, LaVine and DeRozan, they dropped out of the game last night. They announced they're not going to play. The Bucks are a double-digit favorite in the game. They go to overtime with the Bulls and lose the game outright. A bit of a concern there for you. I know it's a long season. We see upsets all the time. But to me, that's completely inexcusable.
Yeah, it is concerning for the Bucks. They're 13-5, but I wouldn't say it's a pretty 13-5. I think the big problem for the Bucks, and you saw it last night, is their defense at the point of attack. They just don't really basketball's like a here's what like we how many times can you counter? So like if we switch to this, do you have a counter for this? If we switch to this, do you have a counter for this? The Bucks are very vulnerable to any like fast guards like Kobe White showed you last night. My main concern with the Bucks would be moving forward in the playoffs is like a Tyrese Maxey. I think he's a huge problem for the Bucks because their defense at the point of attack is just not there. When they lost Jrue Holiday, you're asking Damian Lillard, Malik Beasley to guard these guys at the top. I think last night, all 3 Bulls guards had more than 5 assists. And like you said, LaVine and DeRozan weren't playing. Really for the Bucks, they Alex Caruso should be target number 1 every trade deadline. If they almost should like put him on the plane, what do you want? How many first round picks do you want? Because he's the kind of like that missing piece. The Bucks just don't have, like, how are they going to disrupt your perimeter game? They just don't have it. The defense on the inside is good with Brooke Lopez and Giannis, but there's only so much you can do. Like, there's one play, it was in like late fourth quarter. Alex Caruso ran a pick and roll with Nikola Vucevic, and Caruso was like, he just easily turned the corner and got right into the middle lane. It was like a 2-on-1 against Lopez, and Lopez is standing there like, there's nothing I can do in this situation. And Caruso just easily dumped it to Vucevic and he dunked it. And like Brook Lopez was like looking around, like that's just not the Bucks defense we saw last year. You know, Lopez can only do so much. Lopez was a in the running for defensive player of the year, but also because Drew Holiday was funneling people towards him. And Drew Holiday is known for, like, you think you beat him and he's affecting your shot, still affecting your shot. It's just a very different dynamic. Their defense takes on a very different dynamic. They need to acquire someone who can disrupt the perimeter at the point of the attack. So that's,
they made the sexy move bringing in Lillard, but they traded a pretty good player in Drew Holiday, who impacts a lot of the game that doesn't necessarily show up in the box score type of a thing. They fired their coach. It looks like they're having a bit of a difficult time adjusting to the new guy, but it's a long season, so we'll see where we're at with them in a couple of weeks. As for tonight, a bit of a tricky board because we have a lot of big names that are questionable here. I take a look at the 76ers Celtics game, and I thought, oh, that looks like kind of a nice number on the 76ers. Well, Joel Embiid is questionable. Same thing with Phoenix Suns at home. They're an underdog at home to the Nuggets. That looks like a good spot. Well, Devin Booker is questionable. Even for the Spurs, biggest underdog of the night, 12.5 versus New Orleans and the Pelicans against the Pelicans. I thought that looked a little high. Well, Wemby is questionable. So those games are stay away from me. But I do have one that I like, but you have two. So I'm going to let you hit lead off here with one of your props. What do we got first?
Yeah, just to double down what you're saying, it's a very tricky board today. Very tricky if you're going to play overs because there's a lot of teams on a back-to-back, a lot of injuries and stuff, but the back-to-back thing is very scary for a lot of these teams. So I'm going CJ McCollum over 17.5 points, minus 115. It was available when it came on air here. So a couple of things. The Pelicans are on a back-to-back, but I'm going to explain why I don't think that will be an issue for McCollum. First off, the basketball side of things, the Spurs don't have, like, matching up with Zion Williamson. Like, good luck. Who's taking Zion Williamson on the Spurs? They're going to have to play help defense. The 76ers just ran into this problem on Wednesday when Embiid was out. I think Zion was 14 or he's perfect from the field. I don't remember the exact amount of field goals, but he's perfect from the field against the 76ers. So they're going to have to bring help. So when you bring help, the Pelicans were countering that is McCollum's always going to be on the side of Zion Williamson. That's what they did on Wednesday. You'll see it again tonight. If you're helping, it's helping off of McCollum. We're going to kick out. McCollum's getting a wide open three. He's a great shooter. So in terms of, like, opportunity, I think the Spurs just don't have someone who can match up with Zion. So I think it opens up shooting for McCollum. In terms of the minutes, if you look at this, I think you're McCollum's scary, right? Front end of a back-to-back. He's coming back from injury. Kind of like a lot of, like, red flags for minutes. It's also a big spread, so you're concerned about a blowout. Maybe he doesn't play in the fourth quarter. I actually kind of think the opposite. I think you're going to get the opposite here with McCollum is I think the Spurs will use this as an opportunity to, like, he played 28 minutes in his first game back from the collapsed lung. I think they use this as an opportunity to get him to the 30s, get him a lot of shots. It'll be a game where, you know, they're not necessarily, like, it's not like a 2-point spread. If it's a 20-point game, we can get him shots, get him worked in because they are in the in-season tournament this next week. The Pelicans, I think they, if I was the Pelicans, I would be shocked if he's playing tomorrow. I'm sure they know that. I think he's probably just sitting out the back-to-back because of the collapsed lung. So I would think the Pelicans would push him tonight with the idea of bringing down Zion and BI's minutes tonight with the idea that they're going to play tomorrow, McCollum's out. So that's kind of like the angle I'm attacking from. I like, even if that's not the case, I still like this prop, but I think you can, I wouldn't be so scared that, like, if it's a blowout, McCollum might be sitting. I think they might play him a lot with the idea he's just not playing tomorrow.
Okay. Next up, let's go to Toronto. Back to basics for me, just a full game spread bet for me. I will be taking the New York Knicks +2, cover that spread against the Raptors. So I think 3-point shooting will be a big difference in this game. And I think New York's 3-point shooting will give Toronto trouble. Last 10 games of the season here, and Knicks are hot from 3-point land, 4th in 3-point percentage. Toronto god awful at defending the perimeter. They're 28th in opponent 3-point percentage. The Raptors also bad at shooting the three, 26 and 3-point percentage in that 10 game sample size. You take up look up and down the Knicks game logs here, and they're really only losing to the best of the best lately. They've lost to the Suns, T-Wolves, and Celtics. Those are the only teams they've lost to over their last 12 games. Meanwhile, the Raptors coming off of a big upset win against the Phoenix Suns. Pretty impressive stuff, but they've been very inconsistent. They're having a lot of trouble stringing together back-to-back wins. They've had back-to-back wins just twice all season. They're 2-6 straight up after a win on the season. So I think the Knicks show up and give them a game and probably end up winning it outright, but I will play it a little bit safer, take them there at +2. Okay, John, bring it home for us. Final pick of the show. What are we on?
Yeah, you talk about 3-point shooting with the Knicks. Dante DiVincenzo was a great ad for that team. I really like that ad.
Yeah.
In terms of, so my last bet is Jaylen Brown over 2.5 assists. DraftKings had -135. Hopefully it's still available. This one was moving pretty fast once it got posted. So for the Celtics, the Celtics and 76ers played early in November. This is going to be a much different game. There's no Kristaps Porzingis. He's not playing. Joel Embiid missed shoot around. Not sure if he's actually injured or they're just kind of playing games here. So with Porzingis out the last two games, the Celtics are a lot more 5-0, free-flowing offense. Everyone's touching the ball. Everyone can create. I think, so all four guards, Derek White, Jrue Holiday, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, all four of them in the last two games with Porzingis out are averaging more than 9 potential assists. That's crazy. It's awesome. What that kind of brings is, like, the last time these two played, it's, you know, you're kind of running pick and rolls with Porzingis and stuff. So you can kind of, if you're Jaylen Brown, you can kind of get lost in the corner, but that's not the offense they're running now. So that's not what you expect to see tonight. So that's why I thought 2.5 is, that's not the great number. I grabbed at -125. It was moving really quick. You can't offer 2.5 -125 when that's the offense the Celtics we should be expecting tonight. In terms of if Embiid does or doesn't play, you know, if he's out, there's no rim protection for the 76ers. So that just kind of opens up the assist game more too, because any cutter who's going to the rim, he's probably going to be able to finish, which really helps. That really helps for an assist prop as well. Also the Celtics haven't played since Tuesday. So they've been off for a while and they play tonight and they don't play again until Monday for the NBA in season tournament. So all these teams are on back-to-back. It's not the Celtics. It's actually the complete opposite for the Celtics. They're very rested. Whether the game is a 15-point game, close game, they're going to push minutes on these guys. There's no reason to hold back. The concern with the front end of a back-to-back is always, you know, if it's a 20-point game, pull them because we got a game tomorrow. That's not the case for the Celtics. They have the in-season tournament on Monday. So I just think either way, Jaylen Brown's going to see a high volume of minutes tonight.
Yeah, they would make things a lot easier on us bettors if they eliminated back-to-backs altogether. I think that would alleviate a lot of the load management BS that I hate, and that's very unfair to a lot of fans, but they'd be leaving a lot of money on the table if they just eliminate a bunch of games from the regular season. So I don't think they're going to do that. And speaking of players being questionable, I'm thinking the Mavs will be without a big body tonight. They were -10 at home versus the Grizzlies. That's moved to -6 right now. I haven't seen anything official about Luka, or I don't think it would move 4 points because of Kyrie Irving. You never know, but worth keeping an eye on that one.
It's probably Luka, because this morning Kyrie Irving, I saw a couple of his props steaming towards the over and I wasn't sure why. So it's probably Luka.
Yeah, worth keeping an eye on that one. So yeah, tricky night in the NBA, but 3 bets there. Hopefully they will hit, and hopefully we have a return of the Sweet Boys, right? We got to get back to the moniker that the people absolutely love for us here, John. Okay, John, we'll let you get on with your day. Best of luck with those bets there, and we'll catch you again on Monday.
Yeah, in-season tournament quarterfinals Monday.
Yes, sir. Let's do it. Can't wait. All right, man. Take her easy.
Enjoy your weekend.
Yes, sir. Okay, if you're just tuning in, if you missed the NFL bets off the top, let's recap those quickly. I like the Dolphins to destroy the Commanders. Dolphins have been very good versus bad teams this season. Commanders have 3 double-digit losses at home already. Like the Lions to bounce back there in New Orleans against an injury-ravaged Saints team. I like the under in Cardinals Steelers. Lots of low scores in Steelers games lately. Jets team total under 16.5. I love that. They're averaging just 10 points over their last 5 games, only 3 offensive touchdowns in that span. The trend that keeps on giving, the Chiefs have gone under the second half total in all 11 of their games. I'm going to bet it again. Why not? Against the Packers there, Sunday Night Football. And Samaje Perine, one of the more underrated prop bets here of the season. I like him to go over 16.5 receiving yards. He's averaging almost double than that on the season. Ryan is. So if you like betting props, that is one to keep an eye on. Before we go here, guys, if you like our little show, you can let us know by simply hitting that like button right down there. And also, we were creating a lot of great content here on the Covers YouTube channel. We got stuff for college football. We're covering hockey a couple of days a week. There's a UFC event, probably the best fight night card of the year, going down tomorrow. We have a video up for that. And if there's an NFL game you were wondering about that we did not cover on the show today, we have video picks for every single game in the NFL every single week. So make sure you check that out. Make sure you subscribe. It makes our content much easier to find. Okay, we're going to leave it at that. What a week here. So hopefully we can have a strong one on Sunday. Keep up our winning ways in the NFL. Best of luck with all of your bets tonight and this weekend. We will catch you again on Monday. Woo!